the Public News Service Daily Newscast, July 21st, 2023. I'm Farah Siddiqui. From CNN, Florida's Board of Education approves new Black History standards that critics call a big step backward. The new set of standards for how Black history should be taught in the state's public schools are sparking criticism from education and civil rights advocates who say students should be allowed to learn the full truth of American history. The curriculum was approved at the board's meeting Wednesday in Orlando. It is the latest development in the state's ongoing debate over African American history, including the Education Department's rejection of a preliminary pilot version of an advanced placement African American Studies course for high school students, which it claimed lacked educational value. The new standards come after the state passed new legislation under Governor Ron DeSantis that bars instruction in schools that suggests anyone is privileged or oppressed based on their race or skin color. And minimum wage for farm workers in Maine is not happening. Democratic Governor Janet Mills of Maine has vetoed a bill to pay farm workers the state's minimum wage, but labor groups say the fight isn't over. Our Catherine Carley reports.
They plan to keep up the pressure on lawmakers who have a chance to override the veto next week and ensure farm workers toiling through the summer heat are guaranteed at least $13.80 an hour. Maine AFL-CIO President Cynthia Finney says farm workers are not only essential, but some of the state's lowest paid.
The next steps are to keep working and to keep trying to right the historic wrong that continues to exclude these workers from the rights that so many other workers have.
Farm workers were intentionally excluded from benefits and protections in the National Labor Relations Act, which protects the rights of workers to unionize and collectively bargain. Governor Mills says she supports wage increases, but has questions about the bill's language.
Nevada street food vendors will now be protected as Governor Joe Lombardo signs Senate Bill 92 into law, which allows vendors to obtain the necessary licensing to operate without fear of criminalization.
Democratic Senator and leader of the Nevada Latino Legislative Caucus, Fabian Doñate, says when he was campaigning door-to-door last year with his mom, he became aware of the need for the initiative, especially in Nevada's Latino community.
We know that street food vendors deserve the opportunity to exist. And thanks to Senate Bill 92 and the efforts of our governor, together we will now pave the way for street food vendors to operate legally.
Doñate says SB 92 also means fewer regulations for small businesses across Nevada. Doñate calls the bill's passage historic. It will provide a path to legalizing street food vending, but will still prohibit anyone from selling food on a sidewalk within 1,500 feet of a hotel, sporting facilities with a capacity of at least 20,000, conventions, and state historical markers. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
This is Public News Service. As the municipal elections are fast approaching, groups are making an urgent push for more voter education in Tennessee. Our Danielle Smith has the story.
More than 4.5 million Tennessee voters could cast ballots in the Metropolitan General Election on August 3rd. League of Women Voters of Tennessee President Debbie Gould says so far, early voting turnout has picked up in some polling locations, but not in others.
There still are a fair number of people who are really uncertain who they want to vote for. I think the fact that we have, as of now, 11 candidates is making it a tough choice for some people.
The early voting period for this primary ends July 29th. She points out that voting early offers the flexibility of evening and Saturday hours and allows people to avoid Election Day crowds and perhaps shortens their wait times at the polls.
Spending time at state and national parks has often been linked with health benefits, but accessing these sites has long been a barrier for people with mobile disabilities, and efforts in states like Minnesota aim to change that.
Starting August 1st, the Department of Natural Resources will bring its all-terrain track chair program to 8 additional state parks. These adaptive devices work like a wheelchair, but are fitted with rotating tracks similar to an army tank, making it easier to navigate trails. The DNR's Jamie McBride says this will allow people with disabilities to take in the scenery and fresh air like everyone else.
That pilot project showed that visitors were gaining a sense of independence.
In putting together plans, McBride says they studied a similar effort in Colorado. A recent survey in Frontiers in Psychology found 99% of people using wheelchairs report enjoying nature, but nearly 40% said they avoid green spaces because of accessibility issues. I'm Mike Moen.
and thinking about child adoption, then perhaps some information on teens may be a start. Our Shantaya Hudson has the story.
Over 113,000 foster children are in need of a permanent home nationwide, and nearly half are over the age of 8. Joe Tolles, himself a former foster child, understands the significance of support. Inspired by this experience, Tolles went on to adopt and support 8 boys, all teenagers. He now shares his story as a compelling example of why more people should consider adopting older kids.
There's a lot of stigma about older teens, and you know, what I always say about my boys is they came to me half-baked, so I really can't undo the recipe. I just have to, you know, continue baking them.
Tolles emphasizes that establishing a strong bond and reliable support system beyond the age of 18 has transformed the lives of his sons and himself.
This is Farah Siddiqui for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on your interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and you can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.